I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call.
Your Worship, all members of council are present, save for Councillor Nutt, who is away for professional reasons.
So no addendum this evening, but just a few very brief announcements. Saturday was a particularly busy day in the town. We had the Lions Club of Ridgeway celebrating its 85th anniversary. Fleet celebrated its 10th anniversary since its reopening under the new corporation. And of course, there was the party on the patio, which I can't believe there was anybody in town that wasn't there. Yeah. And I had a number of things to say, but you know what? I thought, Councillor Becerra, you might like to make a few comments, because I know that you, Councillor Zanko, and Councillor Butler put in a lot of work, and Councillor McDermott not only put in work, but I understand he performed. I unfortunately missed that. That makes him a professional. Yeah. Good.
Thank you, Mayor DeCoff. It truly was an exceptional evening. I think it even surpassed our expectations, and we had very, very high expectations. First and foremost, thank you to Kim and Marina, my partners in crime on this one. We have met religiously over the last several months. This doesn't go from a concept to what you saw on Saturday night over just a couple of weeks or even a couple of months. This was a long time in the making, a lot of discussions, a lot of practices. But the key to a great event is always surround yourself with good people, and we had great people helping us out. I usually come up with the vision and kind of, you know, what we're going to do and who do we need to do it, but it's really those people that carry it out. And there are ones I'd like to highlight, and I would like the opportunity to speak to this again next Saturday. Sure, as well, when it's televised. We'd like to show a couple photos and a couple of short videos as well. But first and foremost, Mike Webb of Niagara AV, who really outdid himself. It's not easy to turn an arena space into that type of environment, and that really sets the stage when people walk in. My friends Joanna McMcDonald, who helped us out with a lot of the decor details. We'd also like to thank Stevensville Garden Gallery, Patarax, who loaned us some decor items, but an exceptional job done by Lawns and More. They were actually the ones who transformed our three stage areas into just three stages to really focal points. You felt like you were in a patio that night. And we had asked them, my exact words were, I'm looking for kind of a retaining wall and I'd like some plants. That's all I said. Everything else was them, and they really came through for us. And our caterers, I didn't have a chance to eat until 3 in the morning that night. My chicken and pulled pork was cold, and it was still good, but I've been told the food was phenomenal. So to Linda at Pig Out Catering of Niagara, not an easy order that I gave them, which is run 520 people through dinner in less than an hour, and they did it in 38 minutes, and by all accounts, everybody enjoyed the food, and the service was exceptional. So first and foremost, thank you to Kim and Marina for bearing with me. I'm not the easiest person to work with when I do an event. And also to Councillor George McDermott, who made an appearance. And please stop calling. Your check is in the mail. I promised you, and it's there. So I'll leave it to Kimberly or Marina if they'd like to add anything else that I may have missed. But we'll speak further on it next Saturday when we've had a chance to kind of come down off of the high that we're on right now. But what a great evening. Thank you.
Yes, and we'll make a point of giving you an opportunity next Monday evening. A couple of events that I was at. Last Tuesday, the Optimist Club, Optimist, is annually recognized some youth in our community, typically elementary school students who shown exceptional leadership and good citizenship in the community. This year they recognized a number of students. The ones that were available were the following: Adeline Willett, who goes to Our Lady of Victory, Henry Brunning, St. Joseph's in Snyder, Jaden Klein at Birdie Senior Elementary, Michaela Cote, Garrison Road, and Lauren Patterson, Stevensville Public School, and also Jordan Rowling at St. Philomena. And the Optimists do this every year. It's very well attended, and it really shows that we have some very good students in our community. A number of them will be going to high school next year, and of course they're very excited about that. This coming week, there are two farewell open houses, one at Crystal Beach Public School, which is on Wednesday, May the 18th, from 4 until 7. All people are welcome. And Bertie Senior Elementary is doing its farewell open house on May the 19th. The upcoming in, I was reminded today, 18 days, we have the beginning of Battle of Ridgeway. Actually, it's less than 18. Battle of Ridgeway ceremonies. We have two events the week of June 2nd, 3rd, 4th, that weekend. That the first one has to do with the Union 150 conference, which will be held at the Clarion Hotel. For people that are interested in that, that's a two-day event, June 2nd and 3rd. There'll be speakers from around Canada and the U.S., some of them quite prominent authors and academics. If you want information, www.fenians150.com. On the weekend, of course, on June the 4th, is the return to Ridgeway of the Queen's Own Rifles and the Royal Hamilton Light Infantry. I don't think that they've been back except to tour the site recently in preparation of this event. I don't think they've been back to Ridgeway since 1866. My understanding is that they haven't really been on good terms since 1866, so this is a great event. There's a full day's worth of activities scheduled for June the 4th. They still need volunteers, so I would suggest that if individuals are wishing to volunteer or willing to volunteer, they should contact Russ Wilson at the town, 871-1600, and you can direct it to him. That's going to be a fantastic event. And then the following weekend, June 11th and 12th, is the reenactment that will be held at the old fort, courtesy of the Niagara Parks Commission. That's it for the events, announcements. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Being none, then there are no public notices this evening. There are no public meetings this evening. That takes us to the consent agenda. Can I have a mover for the consent agenda items, Councillor Zane? Are there any questions with respect to any of the items in the consent agenda? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekoff. Report CS11-2016 for the health and safety amendments. On page 4 of the appendix, it says...
Which section?
Section 4, policy statement.
Right.
Yeah, I guess it's... 4.7, would that be correct? The last bullet in section
4.7, yeah.
To investigate and address violence or harassment, even in the absence of a formal complaint. I'm just wondering, can we get an explanation on how that would occur? How would you get an investigation even though nobody complains about it?
Fortunately, we have Mr. Mather here. Mr. Mather, can you respond to that, please?
Certainly, Your Worship. Through you to Councillor Lubberts. The employer has a statutory obligation to maintain a workplace free from harassment and violence. So if a supervisor or a manager or another representative of the employer in the workforce, in the workplace, becomes aware of a potential incident of workplace harassment or workplace violence, we are obligated to investigate.
And I'm just curious as to how that would take place. Would it be like if somebody was being harassed and they weren't coming forward with the complaint, then the supervisor can intervene? Or
that is correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. And then, if I may, Redekoff, Section 5, the first bullet there in Section 5, when I was reading it, I'm assuming that this is just some red lines that we added in here, but the sentence structure there isn't just the greatest, and I think as long as we understand it, we're going to change that, because of the way I'm not reading it right, maybe, but if you read it, it doesn't seem like the sentence structure is right there. 5.1.
Well, yeah, okay, so I think you're referring to the fact that volunteers and members should probably be singular as the others, that listing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the policy itself. It's just I think the structure of the sentences.
So perhaps, Mr. Mather, you'll take a look at that?
Yeah.
Noted. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything further?
Yeah, because this is coming forward in a couple of weeks for the bylaw, right?
That's right.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Anyone else on this particular report? Mr. Mather, since you're up, I noticed that this policy does apply to volunteers, and I know that in Section 7, there's a reference to the responsibilities for accountability of the various other parties who are affected by this, but there isn't a specific breakout paragraph for volunteers.
The volunteers in this context would be considered workers for the purpose of the policy. So that's duly noted as well.
Thank you. Are there any other questions with respect to any of the other reports? I had a couple, if I might. The start with CS09. Good. That is the water and wastewater collection policy. And in Section 5.2 of the policy, which is found on page 6, 5.2, this refers to all employees are supposed to. There isn't really a definition of employees, and so all employees would presume all of the employees of the municipality. Is that the intention of the policy, Mr. Walsh?
The policy, all employees that utilize the policy should know it.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering whether, as we go forward to the bylaw stage, whether we might want to define employees.
Yeah, okay.
Since that's not defined in this particular policy.
Yeah, we'll look into that.
Thank you. Then with respect to the Waterworks bylaw, this IS-15. As I was reading this, it occurred to me there are occasions when we shut off services, and Jansen, you might be able to respond to this, or maybe Mr. Walsh, one of you. When we shut off a service, we continue to charge a monthly base rate to the property that the service is located at?
Yes, we do.
And then in connection with the third recommendation, I think it needs to be clear, and perhaps we can do this in the advertising when we ask for public consultation, that we haven't concluded our positions with respect to the bylaw, that there is the possibility for changes if we receive input that would warrant a change. Can we make sure that that's made clear when we advertise it?
Yes, we will.
Are there any other questions? If none, then I'll call the question with respect to the consent agenda items. All those in favor? And opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to infrastructure services. And is that Councillor Zanko?
Yes.
You guys really should have placards with your departments and chairmanships. Councillor Zanko, I'll hand the chair to you.
Thank you, Your Worship. We don't have any presentations or delegations, and we do not have any reports this evening. So I wonder if any member of council has any new business or inquiries that they'd like to discuss. Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Earlier today, I believe it was today, I was catching up on emails, the region sent out a communique regarding West Nile virus, and I'm just wondering what our municipal approach will be given our number of stormwater management ponds or other areas in town that we may view as a concern. They have a larvicide policy that they're prepared to roll out. Do we work in tandem with them as far as identifying sites, or do we have an in-house policy and program that we put into place?
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Madam Chair, through you. The region on their own volition drops pellets into all our catch basins, which prevent presumably prevent mosquito from hatching within there. That's your standing water, which is where they typically breed. Our stormwater ponds are designed as such that they are to prevent breeding, in that the pool of water is too deep and there is a minimal amount of current within the stormwater ponds. That's ideal. But even with the seeding of the catch basins, some of that larvicide will bleed out and flow through the stormwater ponds into it. And that's essentially how we're working with the region.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any other inquiries? Seeing none, that brings us to business status report. Does any member of council have any questions with regard to the report? Seeing none, I will hand the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko, and then I'll hand the chair right over to Councillor Basiro for Corporate and Community Services.
Thank you, Mayor DeCompe. No presentations or delegations tonight. Two reports. First, COS-05-2016, amendments to the business licensing bylaw, number 217-05, Schedule 6, hawkers and peddlers license, multi-vendor operators license. Could have a mover for that report. Councillor McDermott. Comments or questions regarding the recommendation? Mayor Redekamp.
Thank you. I had several questions. The first one had to do with what is it that the municipality does in exchange for the fee that we charge under hawkers and peddlers?
Madam Clerk, what's involved in the provision of this license?
Through you to Mayor Redekamp, it's mostly administrative, but it does ensure that health and building checks are in place before the license is issued.
So would that include the fire department going out and doing an inspection as an example?
That is correct.
And then, if I might, getting into the bylaw itself, paragraph 4.1, class 3. And I was just wondering whether a license is required for each separate event or how that works.
Madam Clerk, how do we determine what's annual and the frequency of the licenses issued?
For you, Mr. Chair, the license is issued per event. Most events are a one-time occurring annually. And the intention of adding the farmers market, the intention is that it's not the event is considered that of one that runs over approximately 3 month period. So it would be one license for that whole period of those events.
Within a calendar year.
Correct.
Okay, and so and that's applicable then? Right, okay, so that's applicable to the farmer's market in subparagraph D.
That is correct.
In 4.2, you've got, there are two sub-paragraph A's need to be corrected. And I was wondering what the definition is in that same paragraph 4.2 for multi-vendor sales. What's a multi-vendor sales event?
Clerk?
Through you, Chair, that simply means there's more than one hawker and peddler. So if you imagine an event that has several hawkers and peddlers there, this would allow the organizer of the event to get one hawkers and peddlers license that will cover all of those vendors rather than them individually having to seek their own hawkers and peddlers license.
Right. So then, just so that I've got this clear in my mind, the event gets one license, qualifies. Farmers market gets one license. That goes for the entirety of the year. Single event would be for one event, just as an example. It's the Friendship Festival. Do I have that right?
Yes.
I had a question about 4.4A in terms of what that means.
Madam Clerk?
I don't know how to explain it other than what's written there. It's an exemption from the hawkers and peddlers schedule, which doesn't apply to wholesale or retail dealers in similar goods, wares, or merchandise.
Think of an example of a company or organization that would retail those types of wares?
I'm stretching the imagination. I'm
good if we can just get maybe an example of that. I'm just not sure that I follow it, and that could be me. It may not be policy, but it would be helpful if I could get a context with respect to that.
Could circulate that through memo.
Yeah,
some point this
that
way.
That would be fine. Okay. And then paragraph 4.5b. So there is the possibility of 4 licenses issued for the sale of goods on the beach at Bay Beach.
Madam Clerk?
That is correct.
So that provision will still exist within the business licensing bylaw, but I believe that we'll be determining further specifics regarding the Bay Beach rollout as we proceed forward. Okay. Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Further comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor of that recommendation? That's carried. CS-10-2016 Volunteer Program. Mover for this report. Moved by Councillor Zanko. The recommendation is that we approve the creation of a single volunteer program for minor low-risk activities as described in the reports, lending itself more towards alternative 3. I'll ask Mayor Redekop to comment first, as he was the one who brought this forward.
I would. Thank you very much. And it's a very comprehensive report, and I know that the author is here and apparently would have put a lot of time into this. I must say that when I finally come around to this, I'm going to be looking at some type of amalgamation of alternatives 3 and 4, and I'll explain that. When I started reading the report, I must say that I was a little bit disappointed in where I thought this was going. And the more I read, the broader I tried to create the context with respect to this, recognizing that there are challenges with respect to safety and not only of the individual cheering, but perhaps workers that are paid and are there to supervise. Recognize the issues with respect to the union. And in fact, one of the examples referred to in the report, we've already had some backtracking, and that's the garden at Waverly Beach. Last year, there was a garden that was tended by Rotary Club. And apparently we've run into a bit of a bump with respect to that, so that there are obviously some sensibilities around this. I like the idea of, I guess, building on what we have now, because as I get older, I find that sometimes half a loaf today is better than no loaf, because you might be able to get more of the loaf as you progress, depending on what the experience is. So I appreciate that we need to be cautious. I appreciate that there's a lot of work involved with respect to this. But the reality is we have a lot of volunteers who want to participate. And having looked at the comments that we received from people that were consulted, including our insurer, which the insurer seems to be supportive, and I suppose that somewhat shocked me, because insurers are very cautious. I presume that the insurer is supportive, presuming we have certain safeguards in place. Without the safeguards, the insurer isn't going to want to run risks that money out. So I understand that, and that was always presumed in my mind that we wouldn't have people who didn't have skills doing something, require some type of skill, that we wouldn't have individuals working willy-nilly without some type of oversight by the municipality, because we're ultimately responsible. I was disappointed before. I wouldn't say I was disappointed in the advice that we got from the lawyer. Since I have some experience with legal advice, I know that lawyers are very cautious. They're paid to give good, solid, conservative advice. They don't give advice that will put their clients in risky positions. They're not paid to do that. I thought she was a bit of a stretch. Sorry, assuming it's a she, but whoever it was, I was thinking was taking a bit of a stretch when they analyzed the Employment Standards Act and how these volunteers might be considered employees. I somewhat take issue with that, but that was one small point out of a number of comments that the lawyer made, all of which really were designed to protect the client, and the client is us. So I get that as well. This is all bringing me around to the alternatives that were suggested, and three, of course, would be the one that is being suggested by the author of the report, and I would like to think that we can also add in, go in a cautious fashion, a little bit of number four, which calls for preparing a menu of specific tasks, projects, or opportunities that might be available in the municipality. That's something within our ability, and it's something that we can respond to in terms of residents or potential volunteers advising us some of the things that they'd like to do. Some may be completely unavailable. This might not be possible for whatever reason. And we could compile a roster of volunteers who are wanting to participate. So from time to time, when there's an opportunity that might arise, we have that list of volunteers. And these have to be people that are prepared to commit. If there's going to be a project, they have to be prepared to commit to the project. If they're not prepared to do that, well, then they're really not very helpful. And as the report says, that puts us in a predicament of... I would like us as well, as we go forward, to consider as well, and I anticipated that this might be one of the alternatives, and that is doing something along the lines of what's happened with the community. If there's a facility, perhaps we need to look at a possibility of an organization partnering with us so that they take on the responsibility. They may qualify for grants that we don't qualify for. They may take on some of the responsibility. I would like to think that the municipality would still play some role, whether it being through providing insurance coverage to facilitate, because ultimately volunteer or volunteer organization that are giving something to the community that they want to provide because they benefit for them and their neighbors and their... We benefit, of course, because we have gardens, parks, whatever, being done to our property, or at least property that we have a connection to, and that enhances as well the municipality. So I'd like to hear what other comments are, but that's kind of where I'm heading. I appreciate the time and energy that was put into this report, and because it is very, very thorough. I'd like a little bit of background, but I can speak to Mr. Mather about that in terms of the other municipalities that were canvassed and referred to in the report. Just to get a handle on what might be possible in terms of permutations. So those are my initial comments. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on comments.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. So the mayor is looking for kind of a meld of three and four, providing staff for that direction. Other comments or questions from members of council? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up with Mayor Redekop was saying about maybe some employers that would like to volunteer their companies to do certain things, and I don't know that I've seen any of that in the report. We're looking here at just volunteers, and then volunteers doing things like heavy jobs, bigger jobs that may run into some problems with if someone gets hurt or something. Light duty jobs, you know, adopt a park and stuff and making sure that the parks are cleaned up and stuff. That is not a whole lot of labor involved. But going back to what happened with the Kingsman pool, is that included in here single volunteer program, or is that something that would be combined with option 4?
From either?
You want
to? For the purpose of volunteer, are we looking at that as a singular individual, or could that also be interpreted as a corporation wanting to come forward in a volunteer capacity?
Certainly through you, Mr. Chairman. As a general statement, what we're proposing here is that we would engage volunteers through organizations as opposed to individual volunteers. The example I might use in response to Councillor Lubert's question is, let's say a large retailer wants to have a clean up the park day or build a jungle gym day. That would be fine, provided that there is an understanding that these volunteers are volunteering for the retailer. They're not volunteering for the town. And if we have all of the requisite waivers and proof of insurance, and there's an understanding ahead of time who these volunteers are actually volunteering for, then certainly that would be something that could be captured in what we're talking about.
Councilor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Mather. I think maybe what I'm trying to get at is, let's just say, for instance, in Stevensville, we decided that we were going to build another washroom in the park. And that would go out to tender more than it would be town employees. But let's say a company said, well, we'll come in and we'll lay the block for you, and we'll do it on like a voluntary basis, and we'll donate that, and we'll take our company with our employees and go in and do that job. Same thing with a roofing company wants to go in there and volunteer their time to put the roof on. And they would do it through their company, but obviously it would be like a donation or in-kind activity for them. Is that something that's in this here report or something that we're going to be looking at? Would be okay, or is there a problem there with?
For you, Mr. Chairman, a couple of comments there. First of all, when it comes to donations of materials or in-kind time and labor, we do have to be mindful of the general financial policy with respect to accepting those types of donations. Secondly, with respect to having a company come on town property and volunteer to do some work, that is something that would be contemplated by this policy, with the proviso that we're able to tick off all of those other boxes with respect to supervision, liability, health and safety. Yes, it could be contemplated within this type of a policy.
And that is option 3, or would that have to be taken in with option 4, like the mayor had requested, maybe?
It is contemplated in the general approach that we're talking about, because what we are talking about is engaging groups, organizations, associations, rather than individual volunteers, because then we can put the onus back on that organization, group, corporation, what have you, to tick off those boxes for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mather. Councillor McDermott?
Yes, through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Mather. So from what I gather from reading this report, I'm just going to give some examples here. So for instance, I know that it's been brought to our attention a couple of projects that might come up in the future, one being the repair of the and the restoration of the train and or the lighthouse. So, for instance, I understand with the lighthouse, there's confined space issues. with regards to the train. The train could be asbestos or lead issues. So I guess the reason we're being cautious in this area is because of possible litigation down and workman compensation rules and regulations.
It's through you, Mr. Chairman. The concerns with those two particular assets, I think, are described in the report, but essentially it comes down to some significant liability concerns with respect to the potential for harm or damage.
Okay, so in using the pool as an example, when the roof was put on, it was the goods were donated, and they were put on by a legitimate roofer. So in the case of the train, if we were to use volunteers on the train, and I'm not there yet, I take it that we would probably have to consider the background of the people working on the train, because, for instance, it's a high-level task, people that are retired from CN or people that are qualified to do that. We would be pretty much insistent on that aspect of it being qualified people rather than people that would just ordinarily come out and volunteer.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, that is correct. The thing with the two particular assets that you've mentioned is that they're subject to some very stringent national standards for historical artifacts, historical structures. And it's a requirement that when we have work done on those assets, that the people doing the work are competent, capable, qualified, certified if need be. So that would exclude most quote unquote ordinary volunteers.
And if I could add, just for information, with the Kinsman pool, we actually transferred the ownership and operation of that asset to another organization. But even after doing that, we were still cognizant of who are we going to get to perform these services. And we were not looking at just having a put a roof on the pool day and everybody shows up with a hammer and a couple of shingles. So even as it gets transferred out to another organization, it's still up to them. And they still have to report back to the town because it still remains an asset of the town at the expiration of the lease. So we still have a say throughout that process to make sure that things are being done properly and to our standards, because we don't want it being done in a fashion that's not 100%, because at one point in time we will have to assume that asset back depending on the conditions of the lease.
Okay, and I totally agree with that. So I guess then if there was any work done with the lighthouse and or the train, then probably one of the qualifiers would be that an organization such as the train people or the lighthouse folk would have to have insurance, and would have to have they would have to probably do some fundraising, and they would probably have to have the public support for us to go forward on either one of those projects. Would you agree?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, if they were, fundraising to pay for work being done, that would probably be the easiest course to follow. And then the town, in turn, as the owner of the asset, could contract the work to professionals who specialize in that particular field.
Just one final question, but absolutely, they would have to carry a hefty amount of insurance for that, correct?
The insurance would rest with the organization that's providing the volunteers.
Thank you.
And through that insurance policy, they would name the corporation as additionally insured?
That is correct. It would be similar to the Adopt a Park program and the community partnership agreements that we currently have in place.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mather. Further comments or questions? I'll go back to Mayor Redekop for the second time.
Thank you. I'm glad that Councillor McDermott raised the issue of the train, 6218, because that's a real predicament for us. It's a predicament in the sense that we have a moral obligation to do something with that train. We accepted it. many, many years ago, my time, and that thing is deteriorating. And I'm not suggesting that we send well my friends out there to do some painting and what have you, but on the premise that we need to do something. That's why I was kind of hoping that there would be a fifth alternative, and that's the alternative that with us and ensure that the expertise is available. I don't for a minute suggest that we should have people without the necessary expertise doing anything on any municipal property. That just wouldn't make sense. I am a lawyer and I am cautious, but I think that maybe we should be looking at this from a little bit different angle, and that is, why not establish the bar and provide the opportunity for organizations to be able to meet the bar, rather than say that this is a bar that you can't meet. That may not be the message that was intended through the report, and I may have misread that in the early stages. I think we set the bar high so we can say to volunteer organizations, companies that may be interested in donating time and energy, for certain projects, these are the standards. We have to have these standards. They have to be people with expertise, knowledge of what they're doing, and there have to be certain safety standards involved with the project, and we need to make sure that there's adequate insurance coverage, or if it's a company that's doing it, we'd want to make sure that they've got WSIB coverage and whatever other legislative requirements there might be. So I don't think that we should discount the possibility that it might happen on that train. And I keep coming back to the train because we're really, in my opinion, breaching a duty by allowing. And I'm kind of looking for solutions that will take off some of the burden. I mean, it's a major project. It's a $400,000 plus project, as I understand it. And maybe some things that have to be done by professionals. There may be some things that, with proper guidance, non-professionals can do. And that's what I think is the case with a lot of. Not completely familiar with the proposals being put forward with respect to the lighthouse. I have no idea. But again, if we had individuals working through a recognized group that we can deal with who have some expertise, maybe some of the things that are referred to in Rick Doan's comments, maybe those are some things that could be done. I don't know that, but I think if we set the bar, make sure that it's a high bar, that is going to fulfill our needs for safety and adequate supervision and protection of volunteers. That's kind of the direction that I'm going, bearing in mind that we've got a lot of things, and we also have the union to recognize. But these are projects, some of these projects are things that we are not giving to our workers. We're almost like the deers in the headlight. We find out how much it's going to cost, and we're almost paralyzed. So that's somewhat in what is in the back of my mind, and that's why I'm thinking that maybe we could, as we go forward, take a look at that possibility of and we, you know, are there some assets that we could lease out? Maybe we could lease the train station to an organization that does have the expertise and could satisfy our needs. I don't know that, but I must say that the more I consider the report, the more I think about it, the more I hear from the other counselors, the better I'm feeling about this. I these are steps forward. So at least steps are steps forward. So I hope that this will approved by council, and I hope that the message is that we want three and maybe some four.
And before I proceed back to Councillor Lubritz, I would be remiss if I didn't bring forward a concern for Museum and Cultural Heritage Committee regarding 6218, is that in the context of our discussions going forward, is they want us to always remember that 6218 is part of a railway museum, which also includes two stations. So one cannot really be looked at without the other. So if we're going forward on any basis, we have to keep that in mind, as we can't separate those assets out for the purpose of how we proceed. Councillor Lubritz?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I don't know if this is related to this report, and I might maybe be asked to do this under inquiries, but just to follow up on what the mayor was saying earlier about people being qualified to work on some of the assets that we have, and then some of the things that Mr. Mather has said about artifacts in the town. I did have a conversation with Ms. Davies from the museum board, and she indicated that when it comes to artifacts and repairs and restorations, there is actually a permit or that you obtain. And so I asked her how we could get somebody in the town of Fort Erie that would be qualified to work on these, and she gave me some information. But all of that, it was an expense to the person to be qualified to work on artifacts. And it's a certificate that they receive. I think it was Algonquin College offers the course. But I'm just wondering if staff could take a little further look into that, and if we're going to go with some kind of a program, maybe that's something that we can start with and maybe offer to help finance or maybe educate the organizations that this is what you need if you're going to be working on artifacts in the town of Fort Erie.
Thank you for that. Noted, Mr. Mather.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't see any more hands up. Mr. Mather, do you have any questions of mayor or members of council as to what we're asking of you this evening?
I don't believe so. I would like to respond to a comment that His Worship made about the Employment Standards Act. Through you, Mr. Chairman, to Your Worship, it wasn't so much that I don't think our lawyer was making a stretch to try and capture them as employees. I think what she was cautioning us of was, in the event there might be a complaint, or in the event there's an employment standards audit and there's a question about whether that person was a volunteer or a worker, then liability could accrue to the corporation. I don't think she was drawing a direct straight line between volunteer worker. There would have to be something in between that would trigger that question, that examination.
I think that's good advice, but I think that we're familiar enough with what the indices would be that we would have to make sure we avoid. I'm confident we could deal with that adequately.
Thank you.
Thank you both. So the recommendation then is that council approves the creation of a single volunteer program for minor low-risk activities and described in report number CS 10-2016. Is that okay as the standalone recommendation, given that staff have heard our comments this evening?
I think it is. Ex-Counselor Mather is shaking his head. That's going way back. way back. Before the time of many of these young counselors. Mr. Mather was shaking his head. I'm satisfied with that.
All those in favor? That's carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mather. New business or inquiries under corporate and community services? Mayor Redekamp?
I did have... Yes, and this has to do with a question that was raised at the council meeting last Monday by Councillor Lubert relative to an appendix, which wasn't part of the bylaw, because none of the appendices are typically attached to our bylaws anymore. And I'm just wondering, the clerk can advise us, if we were interested in looking at that, how would we get a look at it? I think in that particular case, it was a... How would we get a look at that? What steps would we go to do that?
Madam Clerk?
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair, to Mayor Redekamp. I did look into that after last week's meeting, and I'm sure I was probably told this a year ago, but all that documentation is in the clerk's department just down the hallway there. It's just typically not hauled in by the clerk because it can be quite a pile, but you're certainly welcome to look at it anytime.
And then just kind of a follow-up, if a member of the public is interested in seeing what the attachments are to our bylaws, how would they go about that? So what if somebody wanted to see a subdivision agreement?
If somebody has insomnia, how would they make arrangements to cure that, Madam Clerk?
I think a simple phone call or an email to the clerk or any of the clerk staff would suffice. It is a public document.
And just a final question with respect to that, is there anything on our website that would indicate that if somebody was wanting to see what's attached to a specific bylaw? Do we have, or I suppose, can we leave that with the, can we just leave that with staff to consider that? I mean, maybe people need to take some initiative, but I'm wondering whether there's some.
Madam Clerk, an additional comment?
Through you, Mr. Chair, we do list all the bylaws electronically on the website, and I believe there is a clause in there that if somebody would like an actual signed hard copy, they're welcome to request that.
Including any attachment?
Correct. That would be part of the bylaw in entirety.
Clear. If it isn't already.
I will double check.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Ricom. Other inquiries under new business? Seeing none. Comments related to the business status reports? Seeing none, I'll turn the chair back to Mayor Ricom.
Thank you very much, Councillor Passero. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. From Saturday, Councillor Passero.
As I was driving up Stevensville Road today, I just offer this for staff's information. I noted that June 4th is also the Stevensville Spring Fest. And I know that was absent from your remarks under announcements, and I know that that may have some implications regarding our 150th ceremony. So I'm just hoping that we can communicate with organizers of that event and ensure that they know what our plans are regarding road closures, et cetera.
Yes, that's a good point, because that was raised when I was at the 45th anniversary, I think, of the Connect in Stevensville. They raised that issue. That's another good point, because we have a community calendar on the website now. I don't know how full that calendar is based on information that we get from groups and organizations, which we need to encourage. That's a very good point. Are there any other meetings?
I just wanted to acknowledge the Chamber of Commerce is having a business after 5 tomorrow, and I know that Council McDermott wanted to speak to that, but I wanted to raise it as a chamber event, but it's specific to Council McDermott's territory, so I'll turn the chair to him.
I won't be singing at the BA5. Thank you very kindly.
Look, but, I heard it was an exceptional performance, so I'm sorry I missed it.
So the Bridgeburg BIA is pretty much very excited about hosting the BA5 to the Chamber of Commerce. It could only help both sides, because we know that we have some businesses down at our end of town that haven't joined the Chamber yet, and it's going to be an exciting time. They have an after party after, and there's going to be lots of food and lots of North End hospitality. So we're expecting a big crowd, and I guess the other news I have is probably next week, Fate Salon will probably open its doors with any luck. And that's a big day for us, because that's our anchor down on Jarvis Street, just the beginning. So it should be a good time. I understand there'll be bike tours and all kinds of food and drink. So it should be an exciting time. And it gives us a time to also put out investor packages to anybody in the chamber that wants to invest in Jarvis Street.
And the location of the BIA?
And the location of the BIA meeting will be the Regional Limousine, which is the old fire hall at the North End.
Yeah, that's a very attractive building that's being put up, Salvatore. Okay, are there any other meetings? Councillor Butler and then Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to make an announcement that the Niagara Industrial Association is hosting their first ever meeting here in Fort Erie, and Abatement Technologies will be the featured keynote speaker. And that's this Thursday on the 19th from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. at the Clarion Hotel.
It is. I actually know about that. That starts at 8:30. Councillor Passero.
Yes, thank you. I failed to mention this earlier. My last one, I try to mention these when I can, but this Thursday, the pasta night at the Italian Hall, great organizations benefit from that, and this Thursday, it's going towards Peacebridge Public School.
That start at 5?
Takeout begins at 4:30, and then sit-down service starts at 5.
Any other meetings? Okay, that takes us to a closed session. Can I have a recommendation that we move into closed session to deal with a matter of an identifiable individual? 6:55. Any questions or comments about that? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I guess my question would go to the clerk, and I'm just curious as to how this actually qualifies for closed session. The issue that's being discussed, I've had several people contact me and discuss this situation with me, and it's my understanding that if it's general, if it's knowledge to the public, then it doesn't qualify for closed session. And I'm just wondering if I can get something from the clerk.
Madam Clerk.
Certainly, through your worship to Councillor Luberts, as stated in the agenda, it is pursuant to Municipal Act Section 239(2)(b) to meet in closed session due to the personal matter about an identifiable individual.
So is this mandated then that we have to go into closed session to discuss personal matter?
Clerk?
Through your worship, it's permissive under the Municipal Act.
That means we don't have to. Want to preserve the confidentiality of the identified individual will be prudent.
Well, I can understand that, but when I looked at the minutes of the meeting that was with the gaming corporation, and when this issue was brought up, they didn't go into in-camera meeting. They didn't go into closed session. So if they didn't go into the closed session, then why is it that we would go into closed session?
I don't think they're subject to the Municipal Act, but Madam Clerk, maybe you can comment on that.
Certainly, through your worship, there's really no link between the corporation's procedural followings of a meeting versus council. Council has the permissive ability to go in closed session as they wish, as has been identified.
Well, maybe I could get a little explanation then on the gaming committee. The committee is appointed by council, and my understanding is they should follow the same rules of procedure as council.
Madam Clerk?
They can. They could have gone into closed session if they wish, I believe, although it is a separate corporation. I'd have to look more closely at the Corporations Act to be 100% certain. Their bylaw number doesn't speak to those kinds of proceedings. But regardless, either organization can go into closed session if they wish. They don't have to do the identical procedure.
Okay, and just one last question regarding the minutes. According to what we received in our package, the entire minutes were marked as confidential, and I'm wondering, would that be correct? I mean, wouldn't it just be the resolution that's confidential, and the rest of the meeting would be open to the public?
Well, the memorandum was marked confidential, and that those minutes were part of the confidential memorandum. But Madam Clerk, you would know more about.
Certainly, through your worship, to Councillor Luberts, that is correct. Those minutes form part of a confidential memorandum as an appendix. So at this point, that's why they are marked confidential, also because they have not been provided to Council in the open form that they normally are for receiving for information yet.
And just one
Final question?
Final question, yeah. I had a conversation with the mayor earlier this afternoon, and we discussed this. And my concern was we're going in and we're going to be talking and discussing minutes of a meeting and things that happen at a meeting. And from my understanding, these minutes haven't been approved by the board. And I don't know that we should be discussing minutes that haven't been approved yet, because from my understanding, there is some errors in the minutes. And I'm just wondering, the mayor indicated in our conversation that I said, you know, we haven't approved, we can't approve the minutes until the minutes have been approved by the board. And the mayor indicated to me that we don't approve the minutes. We accept the minutes from the gaming corporation. And I need some clarification. Are we approving minutes from the gaming corporation or just accepting them?
Madam Clerk?
Your Worship, to Councillor Lubert's council is just receiving those minutes for information. Sometimes committee minutes come to council before they've been approved at that committee or organization's level. Sometimes they come after they've been back. That fact is sort of irrelevant. It's just for information so that council can be aware of what kind of business is being conducted at the committee's level.
Yes, but I think my question is, are all minutes that we receive from the gaming committee, we're just accepting those minutes? We're not approving those minutes?
We receive them, and sometimes there are specific items that we need to deal with by resolution, such as the approval of permits, I believe. Licenses that are issued, we approve those by resolution. And this is, we're not dealing with the minutes, we're dealing with a resolution comes out of the gaming corporation, and that's why we're going into closed session. See the minutes. We don't approve the minutes.
So what about the legislative part of the minutes? How are we getting around them?
What legislative part would that be?
Well, the gaming corporation can do administrative work for the town of Fort Erie. That's all they can do. They can't do anything legislative. So if something legislative is in the minutes need to be approved by council. And if we're just accepting the minutes, where do we draw that line when we have to actually approve them?
When there are things that we need to approve, my understanding is that we deal with specific resolutions. And the example that I gave is that when there are licenses, the issuance of licenses that have to be approved, we deal with that by way of a specific resolution. Some of us declare conflict with respect to that and don't vote on that. Call last Monday, I believe, we dealt with minutes from the gaming corporation. We only receive them. We don't decide anything. We simply receive them. I was going to declare a conflict. The clerk advised me that it's not necessary because we don't approve those minutes. We only receive them. But if there are specific items that we need to approve as a council, because it's our legislative responsibility, we do that by way of resolution based on recommendation from the gaming corporation.
Okay, thank you very much. Just one last thing. I received an email from the person that we were going to be talking about in closed session, and she indicated that she spoke with you, Mayor Redekop, and provided you with some information. The manager's reports and things and some of the changes into the gaming industry. And I'm wondering if you would be able to share that with us when we go into closed session.
Well, that's not what we're going to closed session for. And my understanding is we have to deal with items that we're going to closed session for. I did receive material. I did have a lengthy conversation with the individual. I'll be getting back to her with respect to the information that she provided to me. That's not going to be part of the closed session. We're going to be dealing with a specific item in closed session, and I don't think we're allowed to creep from that. Correct, Madam Clerk?
I would agree with you, Your Worship.
Okay, thank you.
Cyril.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. It's staff's recommendation that we go into closed session, but at any time, through you to the clerk, if council determines that this is information that we could have in the public realm, that's our purview to do so, and a member of council could raise that issue. We'll vote on it, and we could reconvene out here, but I'd like to err on the side of caution, at least begin in closed session and see where the conversation takes us.
I think that's fair, and really what I'm going to be looking for is some guidance with respect to how we should direct staff to proceed on this. If there are no other questions, then I'm going to call the question with respect to going to closed session now at 7:04. All those in favor? Carried. Okay, we're back in open session, and I wonder if I could have a resolution that council and committee does now rise and reconvene from closed session at 7:23 p.m. with report, the report being that staff proceed as directed. Questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. Could we have a motion to adjourn? Questions or comments? All in favor? Done. Thank you.